meeting back to order. And again, I'd like to introduce to my far left, Councillor Bavadi from North Kildonan, Councillor Wyatt from Transcona Ward, Josie Marquez, our clerk, and to my right, I have Michael Pill, James Platt, and Greg Jasper from our city administration planning. And
I'll explain the process.
Please. Mm-hmm.
All persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision recommendation must fill out a public representation form and submit it to me as soon as possible. Copies of this form can be found at the registration table as you came up the stairs. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process the committee will follow is that the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return to speak in rebuttal to comments made. However, no new information is permitted. Please note that when your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak. However, you are not obligated to do so. This is a public hearing process brochure, copies of which are available at the registration table. The brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department. Item 1 is a secondary plan at the area bounded by Gunn Road, Perimeter Highway, Transcona Trail, and Central Manitoba Railway to establish North Precinct Plan, Precinct I, under file SB6, 2013. We have the applicants, which is Susan Russell and Norm Boyle, and Jackie Welke.
We've got a PowerPoint presentation, so
yeah, we can hook it right there. Jackie's Lorraine will help you.
Just while Jackie's setting up, is it okay if I start with a brief introduction?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a, given that we've already made the overall presentation, we don't want to bore everybody with all of that again. Jackie's going to do a brief introduction outlining some of the more important aspects of that previous, the previous presentation. Then we're going to go into the summary of the meetings that we had with the adjacent industrial landowners as directed by this committee at the last meeting. And then we're going to go through some specific applicant requested amendments to the precinct plan in order to bring forward those proposed changes to address the concerns of the various industrial landowners. So I'll turn it over to Jackie.
Good evening. As presented at the last community committee hearing, Precinct I is designated as a new community for in Transcona North, which is a mix of residential commercial, light industrial, and recreational uses as set out in our Winnipeg. The lands, as noted, are bounded by the perimeter highway, the Manitoba Hydro Corridor to the south, the railway line to the west, and Gun Road to the north. The previous precinct plan that we had presented and has been submitted to the city shows a buffer adjacent to proposed industrial lands. This buffer and the area of the industrial was under debate with the last meeting, and we were directed to go and have discussions with the local industry. To that, we've had meetings with them. Susan will be discussing the outcomes of those meetings and the timing of them. That's it.
So as Jackie suggested or said, we met with the Griffin Wheel and Board of Chemical. April 20th, we had 29th, we had two meetings with both Board of Chemical and with Griffin Wheel. The first meeting was to do a tour of the Board of Chemical facility, which was absolutely fascinating, an impeccable facility. The second one was to meet with Griffin Wheel and we still need a tour of Griffin Wheel, actually. That would be great. But we met with Griffin Wheel and with Board of Chemical in a joint meeting to discuss each company's and their joint concerns with regards to the precinct plan. Then on May 8th, we met with Griffin Wheel to review and discuss some potential compromises and changes to the precinct plan to address those concerns. We each went away and came back and came up with a plan. On May 13th, we met with Border Chemical to do the same thing, to review potential compromises and changes to the precinct plan to address some concerns. And then this morning, May 20th, we met with Griffin Wheel again to confirm approval of the proposed changes to the precinct plan from Griffin Wheel. That's the numbers of meetings that we had. So in terms of the actual precinct plan, the previous plan that Jackie showed you indicated the previous plan. And on this new plan, the most substantial or substantive change is the introduction of a nature reserve as part of the overall addressing the overall concerns. I'll go through the individual concerns in detail, but I just wanted to give a brief overview. And then maintaining that same industrial area, so the same general setback is maintained to the existing industrial, but introducing that reserve. Specifically with regards to Griffin Wheel, they had three major concerns. The first concern was regarding children being attracted to the existing heavy industrial area when the previous active recreation park that was in there, in the light industrial area, would be installed and then the children trespassing into Griffin Wheel property. That was a concern. So what we're proposing is to amend one of the clauses in our plan. You can see Jackie's shown now the two changes here. If you can flip to slide 6 and 7, Jackie, or 7. What we're proposing to do is the first thing is to introduce a restricted development zone that was already in the plan, but that restricted development zone, instead of comprising M1 light industrial and an active recreation park, would be comprised of a nature reserve and an M1 light industrial area. And again, no new industrial development is permitted. The size of the nature reserve, in order to establish a real nature reserve, is recommended to be about 25 acres and to be established in perpetuity so that you can develop a nature reserve. The ideas behind it is to have something that would actually offset carbon, that kind of thing, generated from the industrial areas. Not specifically these guys, but overall industrial areas. The second thing would be to add in a fence, that red line that you see there, along the east property line of the CEMR property, and that fence would have to be installed as per the CEMR design requirements, of course, number one, to the satisfaction of Griffin Wheel as well, and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. So we're going to have to work with all three to come up with something that makes everybody happy. We also ask that in there, on behalf of NGP, that the city will endeavor to obtain payback to the developer for the cost of the fence based on proportionate frontage of all benefiting property owners to the east. So whenever those proposed industrial lands to the east get developed by the owners there, hopefully some kind of a payback can happen. So that's those two to address that concern. The second concern that Griffin Wheel had was regarding potential complaints from new homeowners regarding truck traffic on Gunn, and these complaints leading to closing this section of Gunn to truck traffic. So what was recommended here, two recommendations, was that the developer install to the right, you can see the proposed sign, the developer install two 8-foot by 8-foot signs at the far east and far west ends of the proposed development area within the Gunn Road right-of-way, identifying Gunn Road as the future extension of the Chief Peguis Trail Expressway. The signs would be installed upon commencement of construction and maintained by the developer until full build-out of the residential development. And the express purpose is to make sure that everybody understands that this is an expressway. It's not a secondary road. The second thing is to make sure that we already had a clause in the precinct plan, but this clause has been updated or amended to beef up, let's say, the proposed buffer along Gunn Road, specifying that there's no less than a 4-meter 13-foot height noise attenuation feature, and that noise attenuation feature would consist of a minimum 5-foot high landscape berm and then topped by a minimum 1.8-meter solid noise attenuation fence. This flexibility would permit the installation of a taller fence with a lower berm or a higher berm with a shorter fence as determined by the City of Winnipeg engineers to provide the best noise attenuation possible and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works in consultation with the adjacent industrial landowners. Then the third concern, so there's two things that we're proposing there, which again we've talked to Griffin Wheel and it's our understanding that they're in support of all of these proposed changes. To address the third concern, to address Griffin Wheel concern regarding potential complaints from new homeowners regarding industrial noises emanating from Griffin Wheel. To this end, we're proposing the addition of three clauses to the precinct plan. The first is, prior to the development of the residential area, the developer shall install no less than a 4.1-meter height noise attenuation berm along the west edge of the developer's lands within the nature reserve, and that's illustrated with the very fat. Yes, I'm sorry. So, prior to the development of the residential area, the developer shall install no less than a 4.1-meter, 14-foot height noise attenuation berm. Just a berm, along the west edge of the developer's lands within the nature reserve. So that is shown as the thick green line along the west end of the proposed nature reserve. So that's number one. Number two, the developer shall install two 4-foot by 6-foot signs, one at each entrance to the residential areas. Can you flip back to the plan, Jackie? So you didn't bring a little planter, did you? Okay, that's okay. I'm gonna just go by and just show you. On the east and west sides of Rotunda, illustrating the plan of the development and the existing adjacent heavy industrial areas to the north and west of the planned development, labeling all existing and proposed land uses with equal prominence. These signs shall be installed again upon commencement of construction and maintained by the developer until full build-out of the residential development. Again, the idea is to inform everyone that goes in there during the entire build-out of this subdivision that there are existing heavy industrial uses in the vicinity of this development. The third...
And these are to be placed where?
They'd be placed... Oh, Jackie's going to point.
Sorry.
No problem.
So at your main intersection?
Yeah.
Just two of them, one on either side?
Yeah, we're going to do one on either side.
Okay.
And the third item that we had agreed to do was development agreements for the residential areas shall include the requirement for the developer to insert a buyer awareness clause in all offers to purchase, agreements of sale, and purchase or lease for each dwelling, informing prospective purchasers or tenants of the existence of the Griffin Industrial Neighborhood, an arm of Springfield Industrial Park. Oh, and I forgot to mention that it also, the signs can also show the arm of Springfield Industrial Park and also label the existing industrial, which include heavy industrial uses. And this, of course, is subject to the approval of the Winnipeg Land Titles Office, although Norm has had legal counsel say that this is possible.
Okay, so repeat that again. You want them to initial...
So in our development agreements, when we actually go for our DAS set application, include in the development agreement that the residential areas shall include the requirement for the developer to insert a buyer awareness clause in all. It's very similar to the one that the railways use. They have buyer awareness clauses that they add. So that's where we got this from. Instead of buyer awareness clause in all offers to purchase, agreements of sale, and purchase or lease for each dwelling, informing prospective purchasers or tenants of the existence of the Griffin Industrial Neighborhood, an arm of Springfield Industrial Park, which include heavy industrial uses, subject to the approval of the Winnipeg Land Titles Office. That's what we're proposing to change. It's actually in the handout as well, on page 7.
And that can follow the title, you're saying?
Pardon me?
That can be caveated or follow the title?
It would be, the development agreement is a caveat against title.
Uh-huh.
It can't be a separate caveat, according to the legal counsel, right, Norm, that you've received. So according to the legal counsel that Norm has received, it can be put into the development agreement, and that development agreement is caveated on title.
Sorry, go ahead.
No problem. It's better you ask questions as we go along. So that was everything that I believe I have, and I'm sure I will be corrected by Griffin Wheel if I missed anything, but that's what we've got right now for Griffin Wheel. We met with Border Chemical. They agreed. They also had concerns with regards to complaints from new homeowners regarding truck traffic. They agreed with the leading to potential closing of gun to truck traffic. So that was one of their concerns. They agreed with, my understanding is they agreed with the proposals that we had reviewed and discussed and agreed to with Griffin Wheel. They also had concerns regarding potential complaints from new homeowners regarding potential industrial noises and dust emanating from Border Chemicals. So again, those clauses that we had talked about in terms of the sign, the development agreements with the three that we had talked about, I guess the noise attenuation doesn't really help them there, but the 4 foot by 6 foot signs saying that there's adjacent heavy industrial, and the development agreements also saying that there's adjacent heavy industrial, they agreed with those. Border Chemicals also had two additional concerns. One was with regards to potential conflict between Border Chemical trucks and the vehicles of any new residents on Gun that are going to be using Gun Road, and also again the proximity of the proposed residential to Border Chemicals with regards to a potential safety risk. So those are still two concerns. What we had talked about with them was some considerations. First of all, with regards to the cars on Gun Road, the additional cars, we had looked at the distances from the distances and speed on Gun Road compared to the distances and speeds on other roads in the vicinity that are used, we are told, by Border Chemicals, and I'm sure they'll correct me if I'm wrong, specifically the Perimeter Highway. The Perimeter Highway has a speed of 100 kilometers per hour. The trucks currently merge onto that without any stop signs on the highway, obviously, or signal lights or that kind of thing. So greater merging speeds. And then the setbacks to the houses. The setbacks to the houses on Gunn Road, the proposed houses, is actually greater than the actual, I need to look at this because it's, I can't read that. My eyes are really bad. Here it is. So the setbacks to the existing houses on Gunn Road from the existing pavement are 56 meters. The proposed houses are 80 meters. So only the new proposed houses within the subdivision. The average setback on the perimeter highway is about 80 meters. It ranges from 78 to 85 meters along the perimeter highway. So you've got an average of about 80, 81 meters on the perimeter highway with a speed of 100 kilometers. We also looked because there are some trucks we were told that go down day, you've got a speed of 60 kilometers per hour, and the closest homes are 45 feet to the 13.6 meters to the edge of the pavement on Day Street. So, in terms of that, we think we're okay with what we're considering everything else that's in the vicinity, but what we are proposing is a potential solution, which has been done in other areas. We talked to MIT. We talked to various engineers with regards to tax standards. And what they suggested was that if there's still a concern from Border Chemicals, that what we do is we add a truck entrance sign for the Border Chemical entrance on Gunn Road that's placed in accordance with the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices for Canada and according to the MIT standards. There's a number of different documents that talk about this that actually give drivers tell them to slow down and be aware that there's trucks going in and out of this entrance, so that you've got that as an awareness. It's a yellow sign, which is an awareness sign for those kinds of things. So that is what we're proposing to Border Chemical. When we had left with them, we were hoping to receive something back from them, but in the absence of receiving something back from them, we came up with these as a potential solution for that. The other item, in terms of the potential risk with the distance to the existing, to the proposed homes, there's two things, considerations. The eliminating all the residential or a good portion of the residential within the precinct is not consistent with the current approved our Winnipeg New Communities designation. So we just wanted to stress that fact. And then the second thing is the proximity of the existing residential on Larch Avenue. It's 2,800 feet from border. On Gunn Road, it's almost the same, 2,790 from border. So you've got that setback already, and we are proposing something well in excess of that. Now it's just under 4,000, and the introduction of the nature reserve. And there's nothing better than berms with native grasses, trees, those kinds of things as a buffer to industrial. So that's what we're proposing in there for that. And that's it with regards to the general going through the concerns of those. Is there any questions at all at this point?
Yeah, I guess it was handed out to us by yourselves, this document. Do you want to go through this?
Well, I want to go through this. If there aren't any questions with this, then
well, some of this is covered by what you just spoke
mm-hmm,
about.
Exactly.
So I think all of it is, but there's some other stuff here, so.
Yeah. This is the first two pages mm-hmm. is the pages, our response to the administration recommendations that we received in the first report from the administration. And as you can see, most are concurred in, with the exception of the partial concurrence with the emergency bus only access, with information from our engineers indicating that they believe that the existing proposal with a divided east and west collector connections to Redunda are more than adequate based on current standards. So that's what that first page talks about.
Okay,
and then the second page, pages three 4.
What about 2?
Oh, page 2 is the same related to the single access, so partial concurrence. So they we concurred with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and I of the public service recommendations, and it was just J that there was partial concurrence. And then objection to adding additional streets into the subdivision based on engineering studies.
You're concurring with the recommendation that there be an access, but that it be a public access, a secondary roadway with only a right-in, right-out.
Yes.
Not just for emergency vehicles, but also for public vehicles.
Absolutely.
But you're not concurring with the relocation of the major collector, which you've aligned in the...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other one is... the second one is the same, actually.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah.
It's just the other side of the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, and then pages
three,
is that good?
Yeah.
And then pages 3, 4, 5, and 6, I believe. 5 and 6 and 7 are all putting everything that I just went through into where we think it would go within the precinct plan in terms of the proposed clauses and amendments to clauses to accomplish the proposed changes to the precinct plan to address the concerns that we received from the adjacent industrial landowners.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I could see that on page 4. This is we're speaking to the nature reserve that you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Which is a dramatic change from what you had here last month. Could I see that slide again?
Sure.
I think it was one of your first slides.
Yeah, just before
the time. There we go. So, okay, so the, go back to that other one.
Okay. Yeah, because you didn't compare.
So that's before is the top one?
Yes.
And the after is the one that you're proposing?
Absolutely.
Now. So it's 25, no less than 25 acres in perpetuity to be set aside as a nature reserve for the purpose of buffering?
Yes.
What you're saying, and the temporary berm that you're proposing
would be permanent.
Would become permanent.
Permanent. It's a permanent berm.
Of 14 feet, or
yes.
Okay. Follow you on. So the Transcona. Okay. I'm just reading this. So the fence that you're referring to will be backing onto the Griffin Wheel property.
The fence would be on the east side of the CEMR. That's what we're proposing.
East side of the CEMR.
Yeah, along that blue line that's on this plan.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So you're putting the rail line inside, in a sense, inside there towards the
property. Yeah, protecting the rail line as well as Griffin Wheel from any trespassers.
Okay, chain link, which you're requesting that there be some sort of a developer payback based on it.
If possible. Not from the city, from the future.
Some of the adjacent lands.
Yeah.
Wherever
when they develop.
Just reading this. Now this is a little, you're referring to residential development of Budding Gun Road in the perimeter. Recommendation is 2 meter landscape berm topped by a 2 meter solid fence.
Yeah, well, minimum.
6.5 feet and 6.5 feet.
Yeah, it's minimum, though, so that it allows the flexibility. That was our only thought.
So your thought was instead a 4-meter height?
No. The 4-meter height berm is still there in the second clause with regards to within the nature reserve. The one that's referred to in the initial clause there.
I'm on page 6, item
5. Oh, so, I'm sorry, page 6?
Sorry, I jumped in. Page 6, item 5.
So this is for the residential developments abutting Gun Road.
Yes, and the perimeter highway.
Yeah, the perimeter highway one is second. Buffering on the perimeter highway is to match the existing buffer for the development south of Precinct I if that buffer exceeds the above minimum design requirements. So that one potentially could be bigger.
Buffering the perimeter highway is to match the existing buffer for the development south if it exceeds the... Okay.
Yeah.
But what you're saying here is the recommendation right now is 2 meter high
landscape vermin, a 2-meter solid fence, which is 6.5, so 13 feet.
Yeah.
And you're recommending what?
We're recommending that you give some flexibility to that. The only reason is because the existing, to make it consistent with Chief Pegwa's trail, the existing Chief Pegwa's trail has a 5-foot-high vermin and an 8-foot-high, it's a plastic, for want of a better word, sorry, Jeff, plastic noise attenuation fence. It's plastic. So you'd have a combination of 13 feet, and that's what allows that to happen. But there was also some concern expressed by some of the industrial owners that they would prefer to see a higher berm and a shorter fence, a berm about 6.5 feet like the original, and then or a 7-foot high berm, and then a 6-foot or 6.5-foot high fence. So that allows the flexibility so that when we get into the development application stage, we can meet with everyone and come up with the exact nature of what this is. That was the only reasoning for changing that.
But that's if I do the math here, you're proposing 5-foot-high berm.
Minimum, though. Yeah.
6-foot-high fense, so it's 11
that's 11
feet versus 13 feet.
Yeah, so it's only 11 feet, but that's because those are the minimums, and then that allows 2-foot flexibility in either the height of the fence or the height of the berm, either one.
All right.
That's all. That's all we were doing. And if the committee doesn't want that flexibility, that's fine. We can go back to the original.
Yeah.
It was just to allow that kind of flexibility.
So you're not saying you don't have an issue with the 13 feet?
No, absolutely. 13 feet is we understand that, no less than a 4-meter, 13-foot-high noise attenuation feature. So that's the requirement.
Good.
But it's consisting of the flexibility of a berm between 5 and 7 feet and a fence between 6 and 8 feet.
Okay. Item 6 deals with the signage.
Yes, 6 deals with all of the new signage that we've just been talking about, and the
4x6 signs of your
and the truck entrance sign. We added that in there, assuming Border's in agreement to that, and then the committee, I guess, is in agreement to that, and then also the buyer awareness clause is in there as well. It's not truly a sign, but it is. We put it into that section.
What do you mean by truck entrance sign?
That's the truck entrance signs that we had talked to. It's at the bottom there, the bottom right. And some of them add words to it that say, okay, beware of truck entrance this many feet away and that kind of thing. There's a wide variety of options.
The buyer awareness clause, okay.
Yeah, which we thought was a good solution to that concern.
You're okay, page 8 now I'm on.
Page 8 deals with the equitable distribution of the secretary plan preparation costs, which WSP Ross Mitchell had brought up at the last hearing, but we weren't ready to talk about that because we have these other issues to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on a per area basis later on if the city can endeavor to get payback for North Grassy properties. Similar to what was done with other ones, I believe.
Page 9, you talk about...
And so page 9-8 talks about the... just reinforcing that North Grassy Properties is committed to constructing the proposed walkway shown on the active transportation network plan.
Right.
With each phase of development. So as a phase proceeds, they will construct the pathways associated with that phase. As the next phase develops, they'll construct the pathways associated with that phase.
So the key term is there at each phase of the development?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one is, again, about equitable payment of the intersection improvements based on traffic usage and a new TIA.
What do you mean by that?
For the intersections, based on what they contribute to the traffic at each intersection, North Grassy, based on a traffic impact assessment. Traffic impact assessment would assess their contribution, the percentage of contribution of their traffic to the traffic of the ultimate build-out of that intersection.
I understand.
And they would contribute that. So if they are 40% traffic, they will pay 40%. If they're 80% traffic, then they will pay 80% based on a TIA. Correct, Mark? Yeah.
Okay.
And that holds through all the way to 10. It talks about all of it in there.
Done there. equitable cost, signalization of intersections of redundant east-west collectors. What are you talking about there? I'm talking about your last item on page 2.
Yeah, similarly, based on the TIA, it would assess what each one is responsible for based on their contribution to traffic. Like the signalization of the intersection at Redondo East-West Collectors, that's obviously 100% North Grassy Properties. So that one's pretty easy. And the Redondo pedestrian crossing of the Transcona Trail, but the Gun Redondo intersection would have others, the Gun Day intersection would have others, the Gun Plessy intersection would have others. So that's what they're basing it on.
Okay. Good. I don't have anything else right now. Okay. Other questions, so...
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Anybody else in support?
Also in support, Lolita Clappins. Did you wish to speak?
In support, but no, I don't need to speak.
Okay. Ian Marcel, please come down. May I just say he's in support subject to certain conditions? Sure. Hi.
State your name and address.
Good evening. I'm Ian Marcel with Colliers International. Our office is 305 Broadway, 5th floor.
Go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. And I specifically want to thank PPD for the way they've handled this. I find that they've done an excellent job of keeping us abreast and the back and forth. It's always refreshing to work with PPD, and I enjoy the way they do it. Thank you also to Jackie, because we've had to deal with her on the plan several times. Let me say that I'm here because I do quite a bit of work with CANDU. CANDU is the parent company, a short line railway, and they own what is known as the CEMR line that's on the west end of this development. So I'm here to tell you my conversations with Lee Jeb, who is the Vice President of Operations for the railway. Most of that is contained in a letter, which I believe you have in front of you, a letter to James Platt. And I will say that we agree in principle with the plan, and that's why I put in agreement. We like the fact that the residential is being kept away from the railway. We have a couple of issues, but for the most part, we are in agreement. So perhaps I should leave the podium and come back when we're opposed, or do you want me to keep going?
I can't hear you, sir.
Would you like me to continue with the rest of it, or do you want me to come back when the opposition section is speaking?
Well, this is your opportunity to speak, so.
All right.
Yeah.
With regard to the caveats, there are a couple of caveats. One is the fence. The fence does add a measure of safety, and for that the railway is pleased. The railway is concerned with things like snow drifting. The design of the fence is important. They would like to have input into the design of the fence. They would like to make sure that the fence is maintained. It's one thing to install a fence, but who maintains it? What if someone comes along and cuts through the fence? Who is going to close the fence if it falls down, etc.? So that must be part of the agreement with regard to the fence. The other thing is that sometimes fences can create obstacles that cause animals and people to walk along a fence, and all of a sudden, then as soon as there's an opening in the fence, that becomes a natural pathway. They want to make sure that this is taken care of in the design of the fence. With regard to railway in general, One of the things that they would like you to know is that railway produces the least, the smallest carbon footprint in terms of tons per kilometer. So if you're transporting anything on land, railway is the way to do it. And therefore, it's important to protect and maintain the railways. If you give up land along the railway for non-industrial uses, you will never be able to get that back. And maintaining industrial uses is what creates employment. We talk about all kinds of other employment generators, but there is an awful lot of employment that is generated by industry. I get calls all the time for people looking for rail-serviced industrial land, and I can tell you there isn't all that much available. I want to commend the city for doing phase two of the St. Boniface Industrial Park because there's an opportunity there to have rail. But other than that, there is a dearth. We hope that the Centerport rail intermodal facility will come to fruition. And we would like to see that areas where there is rail, you give some consideration to making sure that there is possibility of future industrial development. Putting residential along it may be good because that's what people want, but there is only limited rail. It's not like roads. You can put roads anywhere. But the rails, you're not going to see new railways. They're just too darned expensive. So with that, if you have any questions.
No, it's quite a comprehensive. I've just looked over your letter as quickly as possible and listened to your presentation, so it's fairly clear. So you want to have input into the design of the fence to ensure that there's not issues.
That doesn't create issues. The
right.
fence is a good thing.
Right.
Right. They don't want the fence on their property.
Right.
And they don't want to maintain the fence.
Okay. So adjacent to the property, but not on the property.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And I don't know if it appears on at the foot of the letter. There's a PS.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That is something that I would recommend that everyone at PPD take a look at. It was developed by the rail industry in conjunction with the federal government and had input from all interested parties. Those guidelines, I think, would go a long way to helping. And for the most part, what Russell McGowan has done does reflect most of what's in there.
It does?
Yes.
Okay.
We would prefer, of course, not to see residential close to a railway mm-hmm. or any other non-industrial uses like parks, like commercial, etc. But
okay. Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Is there anyone who's registered in support of this application whose name has not been called and wishes to speak? Moving on to in opposition, Barry McBride. Do you wish to speak? Also in opposition, Dennis Smirk. Smirchensky, thank you.
Thank you. My name is Dennis Smirchansky, 595 Gunn Road, and I'm here to speak to you this evening because we're in opposition to the proposed development. We covered some of this the last time, and I won't dwell too long on it, but we're a very important export industry provider. We bring value into Manitoba and provide numerous jobs and create local wealth. Border Chemical handles several chemical products that are dangerous goods. We operate 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We rely on rail and truck traffic across Gunn Road. Residents are concerned about heavy industry near residential areas. The St. Boniface explosion brought that to the forefront not too many months ago. The Capital Region Plan was a report on the residential industrial land use conflict along Gunn Road. It was authored in 2003, and I've attached a copy to you for you to read in detail. The Orley West pork processing operation was turned down by residents 2 kilometers away. The JC Paving concrete batch plant was rejected by residents. In the past, Palliser Furniture had demonstrations and complaints by Transcona residents. 100 years ago, we built railways in this country, and now we're spending billions of dollars to relocate them. They're looking at relocating all the yards and getting them away from residential areas, and we've got to be a little more prudent with how we do things. Councillor Vandell, a few weeks ago, said, ideally in the long term, we want to put distance between where people live and where high-hazard industrial sites are. And what I'm saying to you tonight, councillors, is you have that opportunity tonight. Don't put this problem off for 25 or 35 years. We need heavy industrial manufacturing in Winnipeg and Transcona, and we've been there for a number of years. Don't create a problem by putting houses or allowing houses in that area. The RPAC study that was done in 2003 highlighted the residential industrial conflicts in great detail. I think the problem was the R Winnipeg plan was so big and encompassed such a large area that it didn't deal with the unique challenges we have in North Transcona, where we've got very heavy industry and now, you know, that was not recognized. The information was available in 2003 when the report was authored, and they were very clear on the fact that that area should remain light industrial and light commercial. Here's a description of what we used to have, and I'll just highlight the areas that we used to run up this truck route here and go up Gunn Road here. And the challenge that we have now is that area is removed from being a truck route. And we had to run down Day Street with our products. Gunn Road was improved and extended to the perimeter to direct truck traffic and dangerous goods away from residential areas to deal with that problem. And we're going to have it all over again. I appreciate the fact that Suzanne is going to put signs up. Our road has been paved for approximately 2.5-3 years. In that time, we've seen vehicles going down that road at in excess of 100 kilometers an hour in front of our plant. It got so bad several times, we've called in the RCMP to park on our property back from the road so they couldn't be seen, and they issued a lot of speeding tickets in that area. And some people are sensible and pay attention to signs, others don't. This picture shows you one of our trucks leaving our property, and you know, it's It's one of our biggest concerns, and we review it with all of our people. If anything happens outside that window, you call 911 and you get somebody going right away to solve a problem. Now, we've had two meetings with North Grassy. We've each explained our concerns. North Grassy offered to install signs on Gunn Road so that the residents were aware of industry. And subsequent to that meeting, we offered to purchase the land for the 2014 assessed value, plus an allowance for secondary planning to date. The comment that we got back from North Grassy was that it appears that Border Chemical is not willing to deal in good faith and in a timely fashion. Now, we felt our offer, which was in excess, substantially in excess of the assessed value, was reasonable, and I guess, we don't deal in real estate, and I guess we should have been a little more prudent. We felt that, they paid $1.3 million for the property, and we offered them more than double that, and we were told that we were insulting them. And I apologize for that. There was no intention, Norm, to insult anybody with that offer. Councillor Wyatt, you asked me last time if I knew about the assessments on both sides of the road. This is a comparison for you. And if you look at it, it's based on a $2 million assessment on our tax bill. And in the city of Winnipeg, on the other side of Gunn Road, we would pay $61,000. Where we are now, we pay $46,900 based on one of our properties that's $2 million in assessment. In addition to that $46,900, we pay a $24,000 standby fee to the city. And our police response from the RCMP when they arrive from Oak Bank is substantially longer than it would be on the other side. We just completed a well for our water at a cost of $78,000 for the well alone. That does not include the pump or the electricity to run it. In addition to that, we spend about $110,000 to treat the water that we do process on site. So if we could move across the road, I think it might not be a bad idea for us to do that. We have several small businesses that operate across the road from us, and they seem to do just as well as the people in the Springfield Industrial Park. They have fire coverage, they have police response, and they have a better rate on their fire insurance for that. Now, our main concerns, we produce dangerous goods, and accidents at Gunn Road or with rail cars are very concerning to us. The safety of children exploring dangerous industrial sites is paramount concern to us. I'm not sure where you were 30 or 40 years ago, Russ, but 50 years ago I was out on a bicycle going up McGregor, and we used to visit an old plant that was producing concrete panels for Genstar. And after hours, we would go there and go up their conveyor ways and jump from the end of the conveyor into the sand pile, which was about a 15-foot jump. For us, that was our evening entertainment. Now, I know the reports in the news media today are saying that children don't go out. They stay inside and are couch potatoes. And the fellow that I heard that was interviewed tonight was very adamant that we have to change that for the health of the kids. Get them outside, get them away from their electronic aids. And young children don't read signs. If we're going to put signs up, you know, that there's truck traffic and it's dangerous, that's not going to keep them away. Not having them there will keep them away.
My looks could be deceiving, but honest to God, I'm telling the truth.
I'm not a very good estimator of age.
Yeah.
So my recommendation would you to be... Okay. My recommendation would be, please, don't make a mistake. The R Winnipeg plan, we feel, was in error because it didn't know about our uniqueness. So please, don't allow houses in that area. Thank you.
Dennis, I have some questions. And,
sure.
And, you know, I've lived in the community all my life. I know your industry quite well, and I know the city of Transcona was a city that worked hard to attract your business to the neighborhood many, many years ago. And definitely would not want to do anything to jeopardize that. And I guess my question is this. We, as a city, hired a planner who used to work for the city to go out and do a study and to work to speak with yourself and to meet with Griffin Industry to try to find a compromise in terms of setbacks, did an analysis of all of the different setbacks in terms of other municipalities, other jurisdictions, and has come back and recommended a 4,000-foot setback in terms of a buffer from your property, which is, by any other standard in North America, at the high end, you know, probably would be precedent-setting, actually. How far of a buffer would you require in terms of residential? Just so that I have kind of an understanding of your position.
The challenge we have locally, Councillor White, is that there's no chemical manufacturing in this province, or very little. Mm-hmm. In the province of Alberta, there's separation distances that are 1.6 kilometers. That would take us almost to the perimeter highway. And, you know, that's the sort of separation distance I would like to see to feel comfortable that, you know, no one comes in and has any issues. The last thing I want when I come to work is to find that there was some kids climbed the fence and got into the property and got themselves into some sort of problem. That's not what we're here for. You know, parents supervise their children. I think my wife and I did a great job doing that. We raised four great sons. And we found out about, just at Christmas time, that what they used to do was sit on the backyard and shoot arrows in the air and stand to see how close the arrows could land to them. You know, parents have no control over those kind of young kids. I mean, we taught them the proper thing to do, but I would have never thought any of them would have resulted to playing games like that. So...
I know an older brother who used to shoot a BB gun at a younger brother to yell, but I'm not going to say who that was. But anyway, so 1.6 kilometers, basically what you're telling me, that takes you to the perimeter highway. That basically would mean that all of existing Transcona to the south and to the west is within that.
Well, you're not factoring in the prevailing winds. Like, we have prevailing westerly winds here. And, you know, generally speaking, in a situation, whether it was a massive fire or you would evacuate downwind, and that's why that distance is further that way than it would be to the south. And, you know, when
our
we
start... prevailing winds in the wintertime are from the northwest. Our prevailing winds in the summertime are from the southeast. I got to become a bit of an expert on this with the Ollie West issue.
Okay.
So in the summertime, you're out of the southeast. So you're blowing mostly, you would go north, get back
into
the RM.
So can you take
RM,
those houses out of there halfway through the season?
Right.
I don't think so.
And then in the wintertime, it's the northwest, northern northwesterlies that are coming through. So you're blowing, you would be basically at 1.6K, basically all of East Transcona from probably Wabasha East would have to be evacuated is what you're telling me.
If there was a major issue. And, you know, in that area, you've got the Diamond, where Seamer's Track crosses the CP main line. You've got Redonda. You've got Day Street. That's where a derailment is going to occur. It's not going to occur on a straight stretch of track where there's no wind. It'll be somebody running into an engine, maybe, you know, maybe a person that's, for whatever reason, intoxicated or impaired, is going to run into something. That's where you're going to have an accident happen. It's going to be at one of those intersections. And, you know, we've got some security footage that I can share with your planning people or yourselves if you want. We've put our security cameras on watching the rails, CP main line, and at night we can barely see those cars going through there. They're moving so fast. And they're oil cars, anhydrous ammonia cars. Right now they're focusing on grain, I guess, there's sulfuric acid cars, there's methanol cars. All of these cars could have problems if it was a major derailment. Like, we've been to Oakville where there was a derailment, and, we've responded for CN there. We've responded to St. Lazare. We've worked down on the south line for CP where there was a canola oil derailment. One car there traveled over 300 meters just because it was rolling, and it just kept rolling, a loaded car. There was such inertia.
Okay. But what you're saying to me is basically we should really be relocating your entire plant out of this area because of the fact that you're right now within 1.6 kilometers of the entire Transcona neighborhood, never mind this new development, but existing community.
Well, it's a bigger problem than that. What are you going to do with the main line? You've got this yard just over here. It's probably, well, how far are we from Higgins?
Where does your product ship to? Where do you ship your product
to? We ship about 600 miles in all directions.
So 600 miles in all directions. So you're going through other communities, I'm assuming?
Yes,
we are. You're going through other towns, other cities?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of your product, actually, I'm assuming, is it going on rail or is it going on truck?
It's going on both.
Both. So rail is probably statistically safer than truck, but both rail lines and highways are going past existing residential areas. I guess I have a hard time where you say the residential, you can't allow any residential in a certain area, but yet throughout North America, 600-kilometer or 600-mile radius around this plant, you're shipping across residential area, across town and village and hamlet and cities.
How can you
say here this is a risk, this is where I call the draw the line. This is risk adverse. I cannot be any more risk adverse than this, yet you're shipping everywhere else.
How would you explain to those people they were at Lac Megantic sitting in the bar having a drink after working their long shift, and there's 45 of them that
based on that we should be moving railway quarters out of every center, out of every city, and we should be moving your industries as far away as possible.
All I'm saying is we need to have separation between industry and homes.
I agree with you. But at the same time, we're dealing with your company, which is an existing company in your existing location. I guess that's why I come back to you. Where do you draw the line? You're the expert in terms of what you're manufacturing and what you're making and what you're hauling. You just admitted that you're hauling past dozens and dozens of communities and cities across the region. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's something that's acceptable.
Well, you had an aircraft crash land in your water ponds.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your industry. I'm talking about Border Chemical right now. I'm talking about your product.
It's not just our products. It's all products. All those people in that heavy industrial area, if I look out my window, I look at three propane tanks, three 60,000-gallon, U.S. gallon propane tanks that are situated on Day Street right at the corner of Gun and Day.
Yeah, I know that, but you're right now the one here speaking here, Dennis, in opposition to say absolutely nothing should be done. I'm asking you
these
questions.
I'm not saying absolutely nothing.
I'm asking you these questions, not them.
I'm saying that what we should do is we should have light industrial and commercial, just the same as that RPAC thing. The RPAC report was published in 2003, and you had a number of people working on that committee. Paul Thomas authored it. You had Daryl Reed involved in it, and they all said, hey, guys, look, let's leave that gun road light industrial and light commercial.
But if you're saying the latest standard out of Alberta is 1.6 kilometers for your type of industry, you're clearly in violation of that right now in terms of where you're located. I used to live in a house at 211 Canby that was built in 1978 in Lakeside Meadows. Basically, all of Lakeside Meadows is well within that. And even if the wind isn't blowing predominantly from that area, it's well within that.
And if we had a major, if we had a major incident, whether it would be a fire or whatever, we would have to do that. Yes, as would Griffin, as would the shredder, as would the new proposed shredder that's been approved. It's
so the question of risk and risk mitigation is what you're speaking to. You're still located here. You're not moving your factory, even though you know clearly that if something were to happen, there would be a huge risk to the existing community. You're not proposing that here today. You're not proposing that we are going to move.
No, I'm just asking you not to locate residences between the perimeter highway and Redonda.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also in opposition, we have Egan Gottfriedson, and you do not wish to speak. Glenn? No. Sean Morrison? No. P.B. Schmershansky, Annette Pries? No. Is there anyone who's in opposition whose name has not been called and wishes to speak? Okay. Okay, I'll start with people who have registered for information. Rob Zotnick, do you wish to speak? No? Dave Shade? Please.
State your name and address and go ahead.
My name is Dave Shade. I'm representing Amstead Canada. Amstead Canada owns the site known as Griffin, so it's the Griffin facility. And the only reason I wanted to speak was just a little clarification. When I came in here, there wasn't enough boxes on the form, which is why I put for information only. I wanted to make sure that there was clarity on our position. And when somebody says that you support something, to me, that means that you're encouraging it. That is not our position. We are not encouraging development in the area, but by the same token, we are also not opposing the development in the area given our discussions with the developer. I wanted to add clarity to that just to make sure that that was recorded properly. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Matula.
Okay, my name is Joe Matula. I live at 1004 Gun Road. And when I bought that property in 1988 from the developer who developed that 25-acre piece of land there into four lots that run right across the middle of the west side of this proposed development, in 1988, the developer told me that this is going to set a precedent. Guaranteed there's going to be AR5 zoning up one side of the street and down the other, because that's what a precedent is. But that didn't happen. There was a stop build clamp on there, and nothing has happened to this day. But when light industrial area wanted to... The people wanted to put a light industrial area in Springfield across the street, that whole area. I had to fight pretty hard to get them to recognize the fact that this is an existing residential area. And if it hadn't been for the fact that I have a friend in Bob Bodnarik, who is a reeve of the Springfield Municipality, that wouldn't have happened. But we managed to get a setback from Gun Road. Otherwise, we'd have had the rear end of junkyards going right up the Gun Road. And we would have had no setback, we would have had no fence, no line of trees, no light industrial even. That would have been heavy industrial like Griffin Wheel or whoever in there, and there was no regulation. And we had no say in the matter because we're a city, and that's Springfield. That's a different municipality. And the legendary feud between Springfield and the city continues, and we're caught right in the middle of it. But since I bought there in 1988 and built in 1990, about 1995, I was hired by a company who was working for Griffin Wheel, building a particulate emissions control system, because I understand from the fellow I was working for there that Amstead Real, or Griffin Wheel as we call him, had a huge problem with particulate emissions drifting across Transcona, and I understand they had to repaint hundreds of cars because this particulate emission, when it got wet, it took the paint right off the cars. And that is why the centrifugal emissions particulate separating system, that blue building on the north side of Amstead Rail, is that centrifugal emission system. They bag that material and they have to haul it away. They can't just blow it out into the air like used to. Now, in about 1987, that area was zoned, Ken McDonald bought it, and it was zoned AR5. At that point, Amstead Real or Griffin if they had any concern for safety, if they had any concern that they needed a setback. Well, they had a chance to buy that property then. They had a chance to do whatever they want at that point. But now that there is an existing residence there, to change that is, I think, impossible. It would make sense to me, since our four properties are already zoned residential, that would be the start of the residential area. We have not had a problem with Griffin Wheel or Border Chemical. We have not been complaining about them. Granted, we didn't get a big fireball like we see in the St. Boniface explosion there, and hopefully that'll never happen. But we did have a major fire right across the street in Exponential Products, the auto shredder residue fires. In fact, we had that fire twice there, about 3 years apart. And that fire burned like crazy for about over 2 weeks straight. And that smoke went up into the southeast, and we didn't even smell it. So that was a good enough distance for the worst possible scenario other than a major explosion. Now, I don't know if Border Chemical could explode. I know fertilizer is explosive under the right conditions. If that is the case, then we've got a whole different problem. But, you know, when we came here last month and we saw that drawing as proposed, that this buffer zone would extend, not only include our homes, but all the way to Redonda and the other side of Redonda. That's totally ridiculous. Because, you know, the time to, I mean, if Griffin and Border really wanted that buffer zone, they could have bought that property then. They could have controlled what is going in there. But now it's just a little too late. We want the right to be able to have residential around us, because if our homes become the only homes in a whole sea of light industrial, those homes will be worthless. Nobody wants to live in the middle of an industrial area. So,
I'm sorry, okay. Are you finished? I just had a quick question. Thank you. Just a quick question before you go. So you've seen the latest proposal that they have. At the beginning, they showed the one they showed last month and then the one they showed today. Have you seen that?
I saw it quickly on the overhead here, yeah, but just how far that goes.
Yeah, it's everything is the same except for the fact that they're proposing a nature reserve where a lot of the industrial was. The industrial, in terms of your property, from what I could see, it was being proposed industrial behind on your property, light industrial, and then residential from basically, furthest property from the east. I think you're the furthest to the west, are you not?
I'm the second from the east.
You're second from the east? Okay, so the first to the east is basically the residential starting there, if you can imagine it, that heading east. That's what they're, from what I could gather. So
if my property was ever developed, it would never be able to be residential.
The property would be, based on what they're proposing, would be light industrial.
I don't think it's fair that my hands should be tied just to benefit them. Mm-hmm. It's too late for that.
You'd prefer for yours to be shown as residential?
I think everything from Paul Benito's property, which is the westerly of the four properties,
right,
everything west of that could be light industrial, except for a buffer zone, which would be the park or the natural preserve or whatever.
Right.
But our area is already residential, and anything to the east of us might as well be residential too.
Yeah, they're showing I'm pretty sure, but I'll get some clarification when they come back up. But I'm pretty sure they're showing the residential from the furthest property to the east, starting there.
It should start at the property to the west.
For this property to the west, you're saying. Yeah.
So our properties could be residential if we want, yeah. And we'd be in and a residential area. Otherwise, we're just secluded off into a little point that goes off into this industrial area.
And I could be wrong, sir, but I'll get some clarification on that. So
thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Also for information is Paul Benito. Do you wish to speak? To speak? Heather Zabinski Benito, do you wish to speak?
think Joel said pretty much everything I had to say. He had a lot to say. I sent an email today on the diagram where I thought was sort of fair. Like, where the, do you guys have the copy of them? Like, I made some more copies if you want to see the big ones. You do? Well, as you can see there, like, the four houses there, that first red line is 3,350-foot buffer from Border Chemical. You'll see the first house is where I live. There's a little circle there. I think that's more than adequate. And that's where, as Joel was saying, that's where it should start. Like, I don't want to be beside an industrial area myself. I think it's 3,350.
There's something like that versus 4,000, yeah.
4,000.
What are your properties? How wide are your lots?
They're around 1,700 deep and about 160 wide.
160
wide,
yeah.
So they're around six acre lots.
So, yeah, you got four of them. They're 160 feet. So that's about right, yeah. Yeah, so I see what you're saying.
So I'm thinking a park would be good there. And I said, you know, a berm, that would keep the noise out. And if later in development, if we had to go, they could use that existing property to develop homes. But to put a berm on the other side of us and then include us with that and then propose a light industrial, I'm not really okay with that.
I'll get clarification on that, Paul, but I think the berm is, if I'm not mistaken, the berm is being proposed at the far other side of the nature reserve, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that till tonight.
Yeah, that's what's
I thought the guy was going to say it wouldn't be bad if it started where their park was going to be, but now they want to change that all again.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Like, I think it would be fair that the existing residents be left as residential and the buffer zone starts at the beginning of my house, which would be just under 3,400 feet radius from, I think it's Border Chemical. So
your property is which one?
The very first one.
The very first one. Okay, yeah. I stand corrected. I have a map here, and I'm sure
there's four of them on the left-hand side.
Yeah, they're showing the properties. Actually, it's half and half. They're showing that the two properties to the furthest west would be set aside light industrial. The two property, the right of your long lots.
Yes.
To the furthest to the east would be future single family. So they're drawing the line kind of down the middle, based on, I guess it's based on this 4,000 foot thing.
Right.
So anyway, so you would actually be single family, but your first two neighbors, but then the others would be considered light industrial. So.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I just saw the map here. So.
So you know, I like consider that. I mean, like, we've been living there for probably 13 years now.
Okay.
I really don't have a problem with Border Chemical and that. Like, noise, chemical never bothers me. I think it's adequate how far away they are from us. Okay. I'm just, you know, the traffic's getting a little crazy down there now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that because it did take me an extra 10 minutes to get here because I had to wait to get from Gunn to here. Mm-hmm. And that there's a street going on to Springfield. I guess it's just temporary right now. That's coming from the industrial area.
Right.
And that's a... Like I wrote there, it's a major concern. Like I guess you saw the email. But that's all I want to say.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called that wishes to speak? Seeing none.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Take a 5-minute break and...